Hey everyone, this is Austin Schur here with We Write About Music, and today I am thrilled to have back on again Fatal Conceit. They have just released a fantastic new track called Nightmare, and I'm super excited to talk to them all about it. Band, hello, how are you doing? What's happening?
Life is good. We are so glad to be here. Thank you for having us. The band here, I'm Tim. This is
Pizza Joe.
And
Katie.
we're just really glad to be here. How you
Awesome.
doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for the introductions. That's the next thing that I was going to ask, but that's now
Yes.
out of the way. So now we're best friends, so we can talk. I'm doing great. This is absolutely the highlight of my day. I'm not joking. Otherwise, it's just emails and stuff. But it's great to talk to a great band about their amazing new song. And it's called Nightmare. And I've legitimately been playing it all day. I probably listened to it like 6 or 7 times at this point, and it's awesome. And truly like a great addition to your guys' catalog. First thing that I want to know about is how I always start these things off is what's it about? What inspired it and what got the song started?
Well, I guess suppose I'll take this one. So I started writing this song. It would have been in October of last year. So it's kind of new among the
Wow,
songs in
yeah.
our catalog. And I just had this idea like, let's write a song that's not really about anything in particular. And then I started this riff. And then I was like, well, what if I write about like, ooh, spooky something or another's like Ghost of Christmas Future or these sorts of, I don't know, just scary ideas to me. So I started writing this song and I landed on Nightmare or Your Nightmare, something to that effect. And I had gotten stuck and I had borrowed some chord progressions from some other tunes that I was having a good time with at the time. And that night, believe it or not, I had the worst nightmare I've ever had in my entire life. Like after writing this song, I finished it in one sitting. Well, I wouldn't say finished. I had the skeleton finished in one sitting. And so I pitched it to the band, and they're like, dang, that's catchy. Let's do it. So then
Yeah.
we finished the arrangement in two or three more rehearsals. And by the time the week was over, we already had plans to go and spend time with our producer, Kevin, recording this tune.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was the process. What it's about, I mean, it's really just about like from the perspective of the ghost, really the Ghost of Christmas Future, tormenting for better or for worse. Now you're in hell, that kind of thing.
Right. I almost feel like because it was written in October, maybe that's like the spooky vibe that came through on
I think so.
it.
There's something to that too.
Definitely possible. Well, I mean, at this point, I've listened to all your guys' music and I continually love it. This does feel like not necessarily a pivot, but like forward progress on what you've built on in the past. So I guess what was the process in terms of like creating the song? You know what I mean? Like instrumentation, just taking what you've done in the past and keeping that signature sound that you have.
Well, it's quite a bit different from where it started. So when we took this song into the studio, there were a number of questions that Kevin had because the song really wasn't fleshed out about who was going to be singing what, because the melody for the chorus, for example, is written in kind of a call and response. Da 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 dun da dun da dun dun.
Sure.
When we first did that first vocal session, Katie was there and she was well, I mean, she was just like ready for whatever, and Kevin's like, well, why don't you try it? And you really weren't planning on doing much vocal recording for anything that day. You just happened to have the day off. So do you want to talk a little bit about that experience with Kevin there at the studio the day that we had decided to take over the vocal part for you?
He
Please.
just
Yeah.
had me sing the song, and then we decided that it would be better to do call and response on the chorus.
Okay.
And then we did some harmonies, but I wasn't planning on singing at all that day. It was supposed to be all him.
And then there's the
Sure. And
matter
it
of the
worked out
guitar
great.
duel.
Yes. The off
So,
guitar duel that every song.
yeah, initially I wrote a really bad scratch guitar solo and it really just wasn't cutting it. So, I don't even remember how the situation even came up, but somebody suggested it. Was
Yeah,
it?
I did. After the first demo, I was like, what if it your solo felt very call and response as it is. So I'm like, let's just do that.
Yeah. So
And
we I largely kept the parts from my scratch, but Joe, he just improvised one swing at it, and the solo that you hear in the recording is really very similar to the very first thing that he had had put together for that at during that rehearsal.
That's amazing, though. I mean, it's best not to just keep going and going and try to perfect it. You kind of feel you play with emotion.
And now they flip each other off when they play.
Yeah, not friendly.
On stage.
not in the video.
Not FCC compliant, let me they tell you.
I mean, if that's a reason to see you in person, I feel like that's a big reason, right? Just for the on-stage banter. Something that we sort of covered a little bit last time was like, your guys' music definitely pulls from a variety of styles, genres. Yet it still sounds completely original and you're making something new. I guess for people that haven't listened to your music before, how are you describing this song? Like, what's the pitch for it?
This song or the band in a whole?
I guess both.
So we had a friend of ours to describe our band a couple days ago.
Oh, perfect.
His name is Ross Rain, and he's the lead singer of a band called the Stone Nobles. They're based nice. Out of Rhode Island.
Cool.
And he was on TikTok Live with Atlas from Phoenix Rising, and they described our band as a pizza, of course. And the crust was Volbeat.
Sure.
The sauce was Avenged Sevenfold.
All right.
The cheese was Breaking Benjamin, I think. And then the garlic butter crust, like the topping, was Evanescence.
I mean, that's the greatest pizza.
So it's all very random.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And I haven't had dinner yet today, so I'm starving.
Oh, and here's Joe. Sorry.
I might just have to get pizza after this, to be totally
honest.
I fantastic. Think I'm going to. You've convinced me. I've heard the word pizza like 5 times in the last 3 minutes. So.
And there will be more.
I'm super down. I hope there's more. Well, damn. So this is your, the song has been out for a little bit at this point, and I don't want to jump too forward, but it kind of feels like you're continually putting these seeds out. You're creating demos. You all strike me as extremely creative people where you're not stopping. Are there things in the works? You don't have to say too much, but can you potentially expect more music in the future?
I feel comfortable sharing a little bit.
We're currently recording like our first full-length album.
Oh, sweet. Amazing.
Yeah, so that's all done. It's all pretty much done. It's
all captured. All the recording itself is done.
We're going on Monday to finish harmonies, and then everything will go get mixed and then get mastered, and then we'll have an album.
Nice. And any time horizon on that, or just happens when it happens?
As far as like releasing the whole album, we don't really have a specific date for that, but we do have a couple single releases planned that we're going to do between now and the end of the year.
Got it. And
so I would say sometime next year for the album. Yeah.
I guess tie it back. Are we going to have a similar tasting pizza to what we've heard here on the entire album?
There's some variety.
There's some wacky stuff out there.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. What songs have we not like released yet? And it's all, I don't even know how to describe
There's
it.
One tune, for example, that's so bizarre that people, instead of moshing to it, they sit down on the ground and row like Vikings.
Yes, this is becoming so popular at so many shows. And
the Amon-Amarth rowing pit.
It's incredible. I have yet to go to a show where it's happened, but if it's happening at your show, that's just another reason to go see you live.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Bob.
No, it's going back to the taste of the album pizza. Yes, on one hand, you got this like rockabilly song, Black Betty sound, and then you got this heavy metalcore, drums blazing sound. So
incredible.
There's pretty much something for everybody on our album.
I mean, yeah, that's the best way to craft an album. To really truly grab an audience for people that aren't familiar with your sound.
Especially Taylor Swift fans.
Yeah, this music is for Taylor Swift fans.
Precisely.
If you're a Swiftie and you're watching this, click that play button. Truly though, like as your guys' music evolves, you're trying new things, you're doing new things. Do you ever feel an outside pressure to sort of conform to what's popular in the genre at the moment? Or I don't know. It's tough.
For me, there's some of that. Because like I get so inspired by excellent work that does excellent. that like does really well. So like very, very recently, Katie showed me this band Of Virtue, and they've got this like metalcore vibe, but there's it's heavily produced. So I really liked that sound. So I was like, man, maybe I should do more stuff on the seven string, maybe get some synths in it. And I mean, I certainly feel that as some like creative pressure, just because I love that. I don't know, we were listening to it at the gym and I just got really fired up when we were listening to it. So, so at least for me, there's some of that. I don't know. What about you? Well, Joe's eating pizza.
I don't really feel pressure. I mean, there are so many people who are doing great things with their music and it all works. You know, it's not just one genre that makes it. And I would say our music takes influences from a lot of different genres, which that's what makes us unique, I think. That's why people enjoy us so much, because we've got something for everyone.
That's a great answer. I think in your guys' situation where it's just, it's a little bit of everything coming together to create one new thing, you're doing the complete opposite of that. If you, for example, were like, we love this band, we want to be this band, then you're kind of conforming to it. But at the same time, it's tough because being original in today's musicscape is increasingly difficult. Like, how do you stand out? You know what I mean? It feels a lot easier to ride the coattails.
A lot of our songs too, the majority of them are about really random things.
Mm-hmm.
So like where people will take like the same kind of concepts and turn them into a song, whether it's like a love ballad, a breakup song, a song about getting sober, or like a song about being mad.
Sure.
We have a song about a Mars rover that died. We have a song about how social media is broken. We have a song about society as a whole and how it's a machine. Right. Like we've got a song called No Justice, No Peace, pretty much about war and politics. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Government corruption and the Megadeth energy, you know, government sucks.
we have enough love songs in the world, just for example. Like, no, what you're doing is good. Get the message out there.
But we don't even have a love song.
I have attempted several times, but I just can't make the energy work. It ends up being small when I write it. So she's on it.
He's had his heart broken too many times.
Well, it's like you think your heartbreak is different than someone else's, and chances it's probably not. It still hurts, but do we need a song about it? I don't know. Time will tell. It's complicated. I want to talk a little bit more about your live show, because it sounds like an exciting thing to witness. So what's it looking like? How are you going about crafting set lists? And is there anything on the horizon live-wise that you'd like to talk about?
Oh,
we have a show on Saturday, actually.
Yes, we Amazing. Do.
Yeah, okay. So those bands that I had mentioned before, the Stone Nobles from Rhode Island, and then Phoenix Rising from here in Detroit. We're playing a show with them on Saturday.
Cool.
And Letters from Abel will be joining us. They're also a band here from Detroit. But we're really excited for that one. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're really good friends with Phoenix Rising, and we've become really good friends with the guys in Stone Nobles. So it's going to be a great night. As far as set lists go, I'm usually in charge of doing that.
Cool.
Just because it's like a time thing. So
we also learned that I'm pretty bad at it.
As much as possible within the time limit that we're given. And then I make sure that like songs that sound the same are kind of separated and everything like that. Songs that go hard are separated from songs that are a little slower. That way the audience is constantly engaged during the set and stuff like that.
Well, these two just think about things that I don't. So when I come up with a set list, it's like, no, that's not it, Tim. We should try that again.
That's okay, because that's the band dynamic. You can't have one person doing everything.
Like, well, it makes my life so much easier too. And, you know, frees up space for me to, honestly, anytime anybody takes something off of one of our plates, it just gives us time to work on other things for the band, you know, promotion and all that jazz.
Absolutely. I think personally too much about band set lists on what I would put in there. Like, I think it would be the most cool job in the entire world to take your favorite band and be like, yeah, just make a set list for tonight. And you craft this just beautiful odyssey of highs and lows. Like,
And but the fact that you think about tunings it. Too. So we have to separate the tunings. There are some songs that we just all agreed we need to play faster in a live setting versus what would be on the album. So that's something that we look at too, making sure that it's not going to be drawn out, because some of the songs, they're not released yet, so people don't know them unless you've been coming to our shows. So if you're a first-time listener, we definitely want to make sure you're engaged and having a good time.
Smart. Well, that was actually my next question, is like, is there a song released or unreleased that you most look forward to playing as band?
People love Devil's Little Helper.
Yeah,
oh,
they do. Yeah. They do.
My personal favorite is Fracture. I live for that song.
Okay.
It's so much fun. That's the song about social media.
There's one song I've been really excited about playing, but we haven't, but well, one, it wasn't done. It needed to be workshopped. It wasn't complete. The lyrics were pretty vapid or basic, and it just, the band wasn't ready to release it yet in the state that it was, but we have recorded it, which means that eventually we'll play it, God willing. The song is called Persona Non Grata. It's the only song on the album that's written for 7-string and low drop A tuning. It's pretty brutal. I'm pretty jazzed about that one.
He was going through a trivium phase at that time.
It's true.
Nice. Yep. Besides that song, is there a song that is in rotation in your current set list that you get like the shiver down the spine before playing, like, okay, I really need to focus up on this one?
Ooh,
This Machine.
Yeah.
This Machine is insane.
So there's a song that I had written back in 2016 that was inspired largely by Judas Priest.
Okay.
When they had just released their the Lightning Strike. And it had this really cool, like, dun da dicka da dun da dicka da dun da dicka da dicka da dicka da dun. So I'm like, well, I want to do something like that. So
yeah.
I wrote a riff, and it's...
But
it's,
he wrote it 1,000 parts.
It's true.
So well, it's like...
I kept adding to it. So sure. It used to be just...
Focus, you're going to miss something.
It used to be just verse, chorus. So I'm like, oh, it needs a longer intro. Oh, it needs a second intro for the intro. So there's intro part one, intro part two. And then this verse, chorus, solo...
Long solo. You made me write a long solo.
It's true. It's 48 bars. It's long for.
I have to study the solo every time before we go on stage.
Then
it's just one of those things where my brain still hasn't memorized it, and I've been playing it for a year.
So then it's chorus,
but it's not always 100%. It's not always there.
So the runtime for it was about 5.5 minutes.
Okay.
And it was pretty slow at first. So in bum bum ba da bum bum bum. Now James. He can't be here tonight because he's working.
Sure.
But James, he's like, it should be faster. And everyone's like, okay. Joe's like, are you sure? The solo rips. And we have it somewhere around like, dun, dun, da, 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 dun, dun, da, 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 da. It picked up like 40 clicks. And now the runtime is just around 4 minutes. We've cut down way, way, way short. And it's fast. So instead of it being da 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 da, it's da 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 da. It's so much fun.
There you go. As complicated as it is for you to play, I can almost guarantee you that the audience takes it and is like, "This is impressive. I'm watching something great happen right now."
It's the rowing that starts.
Well, there was one show where James just took off running with the BPM. He was just like, we're going past this fuck boy.
He's like, good luck.
And then I couldn't stop laughing the entire time that we were playing.
Awesome.
Because I don't play with a pick.
Sure.
I play with my fingers. So we're going through this song and I'm like trying to keep up with all these parts. I'm like, this is so fast.
I'm on whatever he's having.
I couldn't stop laughing.
For real.
It was ridiculous.
No, that's the one song I can say that I can't tell what the crowd's doing because I'm so focused on
it. Right, you're like so focused on yourself that you're not even enjoying
it. I don't even know if the crowd likes the song, to be honest.
Right?
You're just trying not to miss a note. I get it. It's complicated.
It's like that song starts, you black out, and then it's over.
You're like, oh, I hope it went well.
Yeah.
And the crowd is just staring at you.
Right?
Like, what the hell just happened? Okay, we're going to move
a whole hot pizza.
Exactly.
Oh, that's funny.
Do that. So we are officially past the halfway point of this year, which is wild.
I don't want to think about that.
Well, we're going to think about it and we're going to talk about it a little bit. You've sort of highlighted some things that are in the works and that are happening. Are there any definitive things that are happening by the year's end? And if nothing definitive, what are some goals that you'd like to, like to hit?
Well, what's on the schedule?
We have 3 singles on the schedule for release, paired with music videos of different ideas. So they're not all going to be performance videos, or they're not all going to be lyric videos. It's different kinds of stuff, just to have a variety. And then we've got some pretty cool shows lined up. till the end of the year. And then we're just focusing on next year and what that's going to bring.
Nice. Keeping it positive, keeping it loose.
Yeah.
I get it.
We don't
it.
Play too often. We try to play about one, maybe two shows a month.
Okay.
We leave lots of space so we don't oversaturate the market, especially if shows include like ticket sales or anything like that. So
it's just hard to keep people coming back week after week, you know?
Oh, no. Hey, listen, if you're playing local shows only, one or two times a month is the perfect amount.
Yeah. Two times a month is pushing it sometimes because it's just a lot.
It's tough, though, because obviously you want to get out there and do your thing and practice in front of audiences, but but you have to be considerate of people that are coming to see them and be grateful that they're there. I totally get it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And then we're taking a band trip
nice.
To the Virginia Mountains to go to Blue Ridge Rock Fest.
Sweet.
That's going to be awesome.
The when three is that of happening?
Us have been together before, but James will be joining us this time. That's going to happen September 6th through the 11th.
Cool.
All kinds of amazing bands on that lineup.
Most of my favorites.
Yeah, we're gonna do that together, and then we're gonna turn like we're gonna film while we're there, film ourselves and film like audiences and other bands and stuff like that, and then we're gonna make a compilation video for one of our songs, and it's gonna
awesome.
Be a music video.
That's a huge thing, and then it turns into a business trip, which means it's all a tax write-off. So it's
perfect. I didn't even think about that.
Oh yeah, got to get the taxes involved here. I have a couple more questions for you. I want to kind of create like an open forum for a second. Like, I love this song and there's only so many things that I could ask about it, but I want to know from you, is there anything that I'm missing? Is there anything about the song that you think is super important that a first time listener would like to know?
What about the change in the guitar part in the verses?
What?
For it went from being that lyrical thing to what it turned
into. Oh, yeah. No, I originally recorded something that was in the wrong mode and it sounded like garbage. So we're like, this sucks. Let's throw it out. So I thought about being on an operating table and what would a heartbeat monitor sound like on the guitar? And it's not an original idea. I've heard it before, but I did this sort of pitch harmonic. Bam, 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 bam. And you can hear that in the song.
Nice.
What is that, the verse?
Yeah, it's on the verse. And you know, Kevin, the fella who we were doing capture and production with, he had a little heartburn about the first line because it wasn't jiving. And you know, you can theoretically justify what was there by calling things passing tones or non-chord tones, but it doesn't change the fact that it was hard to listen to. So he's like, we got to do something else. And Joe was like, all right. So he comes in. I had no idea what he was planning. I thought he was just going to fix those notes and we were going to re-record it. And he comes in, he does this little beep thing, and I sent that off to Kevin. And Kevin's like, this is it, this is great. And he's like, that has to be in it. I was like, do you need anything else? He's like, nope.
Okay, we're good. Nice. Well, if you're gonna listen, which you should, look out for the heartbeat tone. I'm gonna go back and listen myself because I might have missed that the first time around. My last question here is how I like to close these up, but it's basically for the person that is going to discover you from this. What is an opening message that you'd like to say to them before they listen to your music for the first time?
You want to take that, Katie?
My answer is don't take us too seriously.
Whatever your expectations are, lower them.
Oh,
just
no,
kidding.
None of that.
Don't, if anything, don't let anybody put you in a box. Do what you want to do, the way that you want to do it, with your audience in mind, but definitely stay true to yourself.
Much better. You stuck the landing there, 100%.
Boom.
There you go. I want to thank you all so much for taking the time, and please let me plug your music for you once again. So if you missed it the first time around, the song is called Nightmare. We will have the links in our articles that you can listen and share and follow along. And it obviously it sounds like there's so much more in the works, so now is the time to pay attention and listen. I would also say to just check out the rest because you guys make extremely great music. And I really do mean that. And I want everyone to listen to it.
Well, we'll have to do this again next year.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Third year in a row.
Or next month.
In July,
whenever you want. No, truly though, thank you so much for interrupting your dinner. And so you can do this.
Oh, no.
I'm not interrupting dinner.
He planned that.
Okay. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm Pizza Joe. Now's the time.
He eats pizza on stage. He literally.
That's part of the spectacle.
Oh, what? Like,
no, I
asked about your live performance. You totally missed over.
I completely forgot about it, to be honest.
We opened up for the mighty
pizza at people in the audience.
We opened up for the mighty Ava Under Fire, and the place was sold out. They had 700 and something people in the room. And Pizza Joe comes out here. He's got his boxes, and folks just thought it was prop boxes because he's in a pizza suit. And during one of the instrumental features where he didn't have a solo, I was playing. I look over, and he's opening the box, and he's like, "Want one?" And there's some just big dude with the beer. He's like, "So pizza just throws it into the audience, and he catches it, and just arm
what a hero! You're a hero.
And he sprays it. You want a slice of this?
I fed 8 people by the end of that set.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I was scrolling on Instagram the next day, and there was pictures that, like, fans had taken with either me, Tim, or Joe, and they were like, "I caught pizza from Pizza Joe."
Like
it's just a thing. It's just like
I hate calling things gimmicks, because like gimmicks have a negative connotation, but that's something I fully play into right now. It's something that I would remember forever, and even if I didn't get the piece of pizza, I would tell that story forever.
There was a crazy guy left-handed throwing pizza from the
actually
stage.
You could change lives with a $5 pizza. Love it. Keep doing it. Well, again, another reason to go check you all out in a live setting.
Pizza.
Potentially free pizza.
Potentially free pizza.
Get to the
point. All right. Thank you so much again. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your night, and I hope to speak soon.
You too. All right. Awesome. Bye.
Thank you so much. Be well.
You too. Bye-bye.